I don't like wish that I was still playing and I never like think about it or whatever, but when I see Tyreek Hill play, I'm like happy, actively overjoyed that I don't play football anymore.
Welcome to Highly Questionable, because I actually wish that you would play. I'd love to have some Dominique Foxworth footage here on this show if you try to cover Tyreek Hill. That's Izzy Gutierrez. Come on, man, it would be good for the people.
A lot of penalties is what it would be. I grabbed the hell out of him. You can have 15, you can have 5, but you're not getting 70. I promise you that.
Did Matt LaFleur blow it for the Packers?
I feel like we should start off with a shout out to Mike Pettine. Don't you worry, buddy. I didn't forget about you and that crazy call you made at the end of the first half, where I thought that this question might still be about you. Then we got to the second half, and Matt LaFleur, look, man, the Packers had that 4 chances to try to score a touchdown late in that game to try to tie it up. 3 downs, they didn't get any yards. He decided to kick a field goal. I don't understand the point of hiring one of these young fancy coaches if they're going to kick a field goal in a circumstance like that, because I thought the kids were hip to the analytics, and that was the time where they would go for it in that moment. It seemed so obvious that they needed to go for it in that moment. You've got Aaron Rodgers. If you don't get it, they're going to be pinned back there against the goal line. You've got 3 timeouts. All the rationale that you use for not going for it seemed to justify going for it in that moment. But I don't know if it's fair to say that LaFleur blew it necessarily. Like, the Packers did a whole lot along the way to mess that up. They got a good game out of Aaron Rodgers, not a great one, but he played better than the dudes that were surrounding him that were dropping the football left and right and not making plays where they had opportunities to do so. It is entirely possible, maybe, just maybe, Green Bay lost. Like, there's not a finger to point. They just lost.
Yeah, I don't think you can blame it on LaFleur for that last second or that end of game decision. It was a bad decision. We all agree on that, but also, the Packers' defense got Aaron Rodgers the ball back on turnovers twice in that second half. Aaron Rodgers went 3 and out once and then punted the second time. So that was a problem also. It seemed that Todd Bowles had them figured out in the red zone. I watched several times where Todd Bowles flipped the coverage just at the right time, going from doubling Adams. Then LaFleur picks that up and Rodgers picks it up. So then they try to run Adams to the corner of the end zone as a decoy. You know what? Todd Bowles ain't stupid. He knew that y'all wasn't come do that. They singled him up and did zone off of that. So they had answers for all of that. So I think Todd Bowles, if anyone, blew that game for the Packers yesterday. He was on top of every situation. And I guess you could also talk about my man, Kevin King. That just broke my heart. It was a rough day for the cornerback community. Jair Alexander on the other side was cold-blooded all game. But then my man, Kevin King, I just wanted to call him this morning and read Maya Angelou's Still I Rise. Because as a corner, I've been there, and it does not feel good the morning after you got roasted.
I mean, look.
Hold on. Did just get roasted? Got roasted by Scotty Miller, because he got to go explain that one to the homies. Like, I know Scotty Miller's fast. You know Scotty Miller's fast. Nobody at the crib going to believe that.
Man, you got to take a moment to think about that one. But listen, I know there's a million different ways that Green Bay could complain, hey, we lost the game because of this. Bo, you said it. They just lost. But in the end, when all that stuff has already happened, you've got Matt LaFleur making this decision. And I saw somewhere on Twitter where they said it was the worst coaching decision in the history of the NFL. And I slept on that for a little bit. And I kind of feel the same way, because nobody cares if Matt LaFleur ever wins a Super Bowl. Nobody is going to blame Matt LaFleur if Aaron Rodgers does not get that fourth down play. They're going to say you put the ball in the hands of the franchise and the franchise did not make that happen. Doug Peterson just won a Super Bowl in Philadelphia. He should be a god there. He's on his behind. The coach doesn't matter there. And this is the funniest thing to me. So after the game, Matt LaFleur said of Aaron Rodgers, he better be back. He should have asked himself that same question right before making that fourth down decision. Don't take for granted that that dude will be back. Think about that for half a second and then say, okay, I think I'm going to go for it and put the ball in his hands in this situation, because everybody in the world is saying that he may have made the worst decision in the history of the NFL.
That's a scorching hot take there, Dominique.
I know,
you think the worst of all of them?
That was hot for me, but I'm fine with it. Hey, go for it. Go for his neck. I would argue that it wasn't that bad, and the analytics community suggests that it's closer to 50-50 than you may want to believe.
But tell me another coach in that situation, just a little bit of experience behind his back, with arguably the greatest of all time, with the current MVP right there. Okay, now I understand all these other guys have dropped the ball. Davante Adams, I'll get into him a little bit later. He does not deserve a 99 on Madden anymore for the rest of time, okay? But you still have to make that. It's the easiest decision right there. Yes, I mean, Rodgers should have run it for 4 or 5 yards and made it a little bit easier for him. Heck, maybe he even gets in. But that is absolutely a gimme. And he made the decision like that, and it was just absolutely awful.
Man, let me tell you, you talk about going all in. We have to send a shout out to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We're not talking about the team that actually won the game. And what they decided to do this year was to go all in, right? Like getting Antonio Brown, getting Tom Brady, those guys, they went all in, and props to them. Cause imagine this, whoever thought that this would happen. Tampa Bay went all in on this year and went all in on historically the greatest quarterback of all time. And they got to the Super Bowl with him playing just like Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston has to be sitting at his house right now. Like, explain to me how we couldn't go to the Super Bowl with me. This dude had a streak in half where he threw 3 interceptions, 7 attempts. That was a Jameis game. The good, the bad, all of it. It was a Jameis game in the Super Bowl. But we out here talking about Tom Brady like he's Tom of 2007 as opposed to what he was. Miss Winston of 2019.
Let me add this layer here, Dominique, in terms of the LaFleur decision, because we've heard all, I mean, we've seen all the microaggressions to Aaron Rodgers, right? Hey, Jordan Love, you know, not getting receivers, et cetera, et cetera. Now, if this is the final microaggression that gets that guy to not finish his career in Green Bay, never mind not getting yourself to a Super Bowl, not giving yourself another chance for a Super Bowl for the next few years, presumably, if you can't replace him properly, does that not weigh in on that decision and make you think, man, that was idiotic, like beyond idiotic, like all-time idiotic?
Izzy, I tried to cool off your hot take by telling the world that Tom Brady was out here playing like Jameis. Like, you were straight. Your take had to cool down. I had brought the level of heat, the kind of heat that was going to offend people. And you were like, nope, 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 nope. Turn the heat back up over here.
Why are you trying to offend Matt LaFleur of all people? Just let the heat on him. Just leave it on him.
No. I don't think you understand. The heat's coming for you. Bo is stepping in front of the bullets that are coming for you and saying Jameis and Brady are the same. But now everyone's going to say Izzy wants to fire all the coaches.
No, because the actual Jameis and Brady take is actually a good one.
It's a great one.
Are the Chiefs even better than we thought?
Okay, so the Chiefs have had this thing. We're going into that game. What? They had won 8 games by a combined 32 points, but it never felt like they were out here just like toying with people or these games weren't really close. The end margin was close, but none of us thought they were going to lose any of them. Then they came out here against Buffalo, and Buffalo has been good week after week after week. Josh Allen had been good enough that some of y'all was stupid enough to think that he had gotten better than Patrick Mahomes. Wrong you were. If you said it, I don't give a damn if you work here. Apologize for the fact that you ever got to that point. Now, are the Chiefs better than we thought they were? They look like what we thought they were. You're not going to stop them on offense, and they got a good enough defense where if they got a lead, they're going to be able to get some heat on you. And what they were able to do with Josh Allen is that you can't just get heat on Josh Allen. You've got to get heat with big people, guys that can hold him up long enough that either he gets sacked or he'll stay up long enough to make a bad decision. And that's what the Chiefs were able to get to have happen after that point had gotten where they had gotten that big lead. But no, they just look like the Chiefs at this point. And what do the Chiefs look like? The teams that Patrick Mahomes plays for.
As it comes to the Bills, like, we saw a little bit of Josh Allen's questionable decision-making, and we saw just the fact that they just gave up on the running game for the second week in a row in the playoffs. So there's reasons why they lost. But to stick to the question here, are the Chiefs better than we thought they were? I'm not sure if they're better than they thought they were, but I know going into a game against a defense like the Bills, you would think they could take away at least either Travis Kelce or Tyreek Hill. Not take them away entirely, but maybe not have them have the phenomenal types of games that they have. But I think the more surprising is part is, and Tony Romo kept talking about it during the game, that secondary played extremely well. And I don't know how good they are necessarily, but I know if I'm on a defense and Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill on the other side of the ball, I'm just playing with supreme confidence. And I think that's what you saw in a Chiefs team yesterday. Say, you're going to put us on man a lot with these guys. I don't care if it's Stephon Diggs. Yeah, I might have a little extra help with Stephon Diggs, but we're going to stick to these guys. And they looked like a supreme secondary yesterday. And I think the Bills were surprised by that.
Yeah, a lot of credit to Spags, the defensive coordinator. He did a fantastic job because they switched it up quite a bit. They did some zero blitzing, way more than I would have done in that situation. They were isolated. They did some simulated pressures, and they were confusing Josh Allen. The most impressive player in that secondary to me was Juan Thornhill. He's a free safety. He was a rookie last year, got hurt in the playoffs. But his versatility, a lot like Tyrann Mathieu, allowed them to do some complicated things where he could come down and be able to cover Cole Beasley and also play in a deep middle. It was throwing them off every which way. So I think that Spags and Thornhill were exceptional yesterday, but let's talk about what we really all care about, that offense and that Tyreek Hill fella. Like, I don't know nothing about nothing, but I know that he can't be covered. It is impossible. I did a list last year before the season started on Get Up about the toughest receivers to cover, and he was number one on that list, and I think I put Diggs number two. And the reason why is when I'm watching Tyreek Hill tape, I'm trying to think about it as a corner who has to play him. And normally you see somebody and you're like, all right, I'll take away this and make him beat me this way. Or if he's a big guy, I'll be able to jump with him and try to contest the ball. But when you watch Tyreek play, like, he has straight line speed. He accelerates as quickly as anybody. He changes directions as quickly as anybody. He tracks the ball in the air as good as any receiver in the league. And he goes up, attacks it, and has hands as good as anybody in the league. And then the quarterback's Patrick Mahomes. I'm telling you, I've been to a lot of games, a lot of matchups where the coach is like, you think you can handle him one-on-one? The answer is always supposed to be yes. And you say yes no matter what you think in your heart. I promise you, if my D coordinator came to me and was like, you got him one-on-one for a couple snaps? No. I don't.
Dominique.
No, I don't. Nobody does.
Hold on. Dominique, let's talk about what me and you actually do want to talk about here, right? Because I feel like we've gone through a lot this season with a lot of different people. And this is the only question I'm going to ask here. Can Josh Allen get done in the playoffs, right? Is it fair to ask that question at this point? He did not play well in this game, and you got that full Josh Allen experience. They won that game against the Ravens, but he didn't play especially well in that one. You saw how he ended last year. Well, who did he throw the ball to, Dominique? Was it the square body that he threw it down the field? It's some people that after games like that, you try to ask, I just don't know if this guy can get it done in the playoffs. Y'all going to say that about Josh Allen now, or you going to admit that that's just some nonsense that you break out selectively?
Up next on HQ.
Deshaun Watson, son, you're going to be stuck there until they decide to trade you because you're too good to just give away. Matt Stafford comes in and is like, I don't know if I want to play here no more. They like, yo, we was thinking the same thing.
Should teams be lining up to trade for Matthew Stafford?
All right, so something you don't see every day, the Detroit Lions and Matthew Stafford let us know that they are mutually agreeing to part ways, and they are going to try to find a way to trade Matthew Stafford, which is probably good for the Lions because they've never gotten over the hump with him, and they could probably get like two first-round picks for him if they do move him. If Jamal Adams is worth two first-round picks, the chances are Matthew Stafford worth something similar. Did you know that dude has made the Pro Bowl one time? Right, that in the 12 years of his career, Matthew Stafford has made the Pro Bowl one time. But all the people who decide they want to go hang out with their families and everything else, he has made the Pro Bowl one time. I cannot be number one overall pick who has endured less scrutiny than Matt Stafford has, to the point now where you're starting to hear people say he was just let down by the Lions all those years. No. He looked like a Detroit Lion when he was out there, right? Like, even a dude like Archie Manning back in the day, it looked like, wow, this guy's better than everybody else that's around him. That's not what it's been with Stafford. He is a pretty good quarterback, right? He is a more exciting to watch version of Eli Manning in that regard. A pretty good quarterback. But you know what? There's a lot of teams that could use a pretty good quarterback, and one of them is going to wind up with Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, I was wondering when you were going to wheel it all the way back around to the right answer. Yes, they should be lining up for Matthew Stafford because he's an above-average quarterback. And the people that you name, like Eli Manning, won two Super Bowls when he's surrounded by some really good players. So, and we just watched Tom Brady have two back-to-back pretty bad games, but you know where he is? He's in the Super Bowl because he jumped into the right situation. So I'm sure Matt Stafford is seeing some of that and thinking he could be that guy. And to be able to have your choice of all these teams, maybe you can go out and be with Kyle Shanahan. I'm sure that's every quarterback's dream. You're watching Jared Goff down there with McVay. You're like, man, I wish somebody would draw something up like that. For me, I wish I had a defense like that to rely on. Like, that has to be exciting. And, yes, any team that feels like they're just a quarterback away, line up. Give away your draft picks. Give them whatever you got to give them. Because Matt Stafford is not great, but he's good enough to get you to the spot where you can lose to Patrick Mahomes, which is what we're all fighting for.
And I'm wondering how much of an influence Deshaun Watson was in this situation, because obviously his organization being in shambles, at least Matt Stafford could argue, well, hey, my organization has kind of always been like that, so maybe I can get my way out of here. And so that takes me to where I'm most surprised about this thing. And Bo, you brought it up at the beginning, the mutually parting ways thing. Like, to me, if you're an organization and you've got a guy who, depending on your evaluation of him, who's above average, you would say, hey, let's give this coach one try, give him one season. But it feels like the Detroit Lions are saying, yeah, we're questioning our coaching hire too. You go ahead. We're going to start with a young guy here, because this coaching hire is mind-blowingly awful. And if I'm Matt Stafford, I just point to that singular reason that says, okay, straw that broke the camel's back, I'm out of here. And they're just like, okay, you're right, go ahead.
Yeah. The hire is bad, right? But they gave the dude 12 years. Like, how much more benefit of the doubt are we talking about? So, like, for example, with Miami and Ryan Tannehill, they cut bait on that a lot sooner than they have with the Lions. Now, Tannehill has gone on to do well with the Titans. Good for him. But nobody makes the argument that the Dolphins made the wrong decision about that, because we watched what it was for all those years, and it was time to move on. That's the most interesting thing about this with Stafford. Deshaun Watson, son, you're going to be stuck there until they decide to trade you, because you're too good to just give away. Matt Stafford comes in and is like, I don't know if I want to play here no more. They like, yo, we was thinking the same thing.
Do you question if these Bills offensive linemen were right to stand up for their quarterback?
Yeah, the wheels kind of came off at the end of Chiefs Bills, but it's understandable for the Bills. I can't imagine how terribly disappointing it was that they got there just to catch that beat 'em down on national television in front of everybody after they talk all that noise to us. Anyway, let's get a watch at this. So here we go. There's Josh Allen. This is the Josh Allen experience. He'd be better off if he weren't so strong. Right? Now, what you couldn't tell is there was a whistle, and then he got thrown down. And you're wondering, why was Alex Okafor so mad at Josh Allen? And why are the Buffalo Bills offensive linemen so mad? There it is. Right there. Threw the ball in Alex Okafor's face.
Which, by the way, not that big a deal when you consider everything that happens in a football game. I would say not that big a deal right there. I would say that the Buffalo Bills are probably more mad at their own head coach for not kicking the extra point there and giving them a chance to go two scores there. I know it's out of control. They check it, two onside kicks there. But a ball to the face, not that big a deal. Go ahead, Dom. Tell me why it is.
It is a big deal. And Okafor seemed like he released him. It didn't seem like he was trying to slam him down. And having a ball thrown in your face is one of those things that's kind of like having somebody poke you in the forehead. Like, of course it doesn't hurt, but it's the level of disrespect. Like, that's just messed up. You don't throw the ball in a man's face. And of course, yeah, the offensive linemen, they have to do that. They don't have a choice at that
contractually
point.
Contractually obligated.
Your quarterback is under fire. You have to come get him. And your quarterback is then his responsibility to pay whatever fines you get. Like, that's how this ecosystem should work. I don't know if Josh Allen is doing that, but you have to pay off any fines because you started it and they're coming to protect you.
Also, did we know that if one team gets five penalties on a play and the other team gets one penalty, it's all offset?
Same.
I did not know that.
In Durham, Duke basketball practice.
All right, Mike Krzyzewski has no patience for student reporters. It's just not something that he's into. Don't believe me? Check this.
Hi, Coach. I'm just curious as to what the next step forward here is for the team as you guys move into another week of basketball.
Yeah, why don't we just evaluate this game? You know, I'm not into what our next step forward is right now. We just finished the hard-fought game. Yeah, I don't know if, like, when you, what's your major? What's your major at Duke? What's your hardest class?
Econ.
Okay. So say you just had the toughest econ test in the world. And when you walked out, somebody asked you, what's your next step? You see what I mean? Does that, you have some empathy and you know, just give us time to evaluate this game, and then we'll figure out, just like we always try to do.
America thought Mike Krzyzewski was being a jerk. I thought he's gotten nicer over the years from watching that. It's all a matter of perspective. Dominique, are you intrigued?
I mean, I'm not intrigued, but I think Mike Krzyzewski was kind of being a jerk, but I don't feel bad for the reporter. Like, I can be in a situation where it's like, whatever, he's giving that man some experience. And he's not even a journalist. He's an econ major. So what is he doing asking questions? Go do some math.
By the way, I've left out the part that Duke seems to stink this year. Izzy, are you intrigued?
I mean, absolutely. I feel terrible for this young man. I was in that position before, and I remember being scared to death asking Steve Spurrier questions. And one time, he called me stupid, okay? I was scared for the next 3 months, didn't ask him another question. This guy had the most normal, like, you know,
look
mundane
at you now.
Question.
Look at you now.
Cliche question. And he gets beat up by the coach. Guaranteed he was not prepared for a
follow-up question.
He was not prepared for a return question there.
And guess what? He woke up the next day and he survived. And he grew from it. And now he'll be a better reporter or economist.
All right, that is the show. Check out Izzy Gutierrez covering the NBA and other things here. Also, check out Dominique Foxworth at theundefeated.com. I also have a podcast called The Right Time. You should check it out.
They already know that.
Thinking one of y'all might be like, Bomani got featured in the Washington Post. But nah, why would y'all do that? Why would y'all throw me any shine?
I haven't finished reading it yet. I don't know how I feel about it. I didn't want to draw people's attention to it if I thought it was whack.
Fair.